Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, brought to you by Campbell's new chunky spicy soup. It's time to get fired up. Let me tell you, I'm fired up, man. Raptors lose 145-101 at home to the New York Knicks. Let me say that again, 145-101 at home to the New York Knicks. It was literally a loss the entire way. Not that you would expect a team that has already lost 11 straight and now 12 straight to be even, you know, even have a hope of winning. But at the same time, if you even came in with just like a, hey, tonight might be different, we might catch them lacking or anything like that, not at all. The Knicks had 33 points with 4 minutes left in the first quarter. By that point, Deuce McBride had already made five threes, and the Raptors had already gotten themselves under double digits. Darko had already had to call the first timeout. And it's probably the same thing you've heard me say on this program 50 times this season. And of course, as an exaggeration, the Raptors somehow have yet to lose 50 games. Although, honestly, if they play like this and with this specific group, it will be that way. And of course, I know people are already, you know, rolling their eyes saying, well, you know, actually, they have lost 50. Tonight's their 50th loss. You know, and I know people are already saying, like, well, come on, you got to give them a pass. Got to give them a pass. There's a G, you know, they got a lot of G Leaguers out there. They got, you know, this really difficult season. It gets even worse with Ochai Agbaji having suffered just a really, really scary fall after Kelly Olynyk threw him a lob and he was clipped midair. Nothing harmful at all in the play. I think Deuce McBride was just going for the ball as well, but Ochai had no chance to land. He does get clipped, and he falls really hard. It's a really scary moment. He stayed down, writhing in pain. You can hear him yelling and screaming, even from the 600s. And the Darko was eventually forced to call the timeout, and he was eventually helped off the court by two of his teammates. You know, again, just I mean, honestly, this season has had so many difficulties, but for Ochai, I just hope he's physically okay. That looked really tough, and I know they called it a right hip contusion. Hopefully, it's just a contusion, but the way it looked was really scary in the moment. But like, yeah, this was just, there was no chance. There was no chance, and you might say, well, you know, again, like, you give them a pass because there's a talent disparity. You give them a pass because they're new to each other. You give them a pass because they're tanking. You give them a pass or whatever. Honestly, that's fine. That's a personal preference. For me, I just don't think that there's any excuse for games to be this poorly competed. This game, games to be this utterly meaningless, especially at home. Maybe that's silly. Maybe that's just the idealist in me thinking that, you know, there has to be something here. But the lack of closeouts to the three-point shooters, the Knicks, again, got 22 threes tonight. And nine of them for Deuce McBride, who started the season as the Knicks' third-string point guard. Like, you and you know what? You want someone to cry for you for injuries. Knicks have never handed out a single pass all season because of injuries, especially the last 2 months. Have you seen who's out for them? They trade for OG Anunoby. He's awesome, and then he's been out basically ever since then with the elbow issue. He came back tonight, got a warm ovation, got a tribute video. Awesome. He was all smiles, greeted so many staffers, so many former teammates, so many fans. OG was all smiles. I never seen him smile that much. You know, but since the Knicks have traded for OG, he's been out for a long time. They're, you know, two-time All-NBA four Julius Randle. And say what you want about a man who has a signature Skechers shoe, but, like, Julius Randle's out. How many games this season did they play with, like, seven or eight available players? Precious Achiuwa's got to play 45 minutes for them. Deuce McBride, their third-string point guard, now has to play 48 minutes for them. Josh Hart plays 48 minutes for them. And this team, no matter what, they come out there, they compete, they got whoever they got, and they just go. They just run. And, of course, they're getting healthier and healthier. They're getting more and more players back. And clearly they had the best player in the game tonight in Jalen Brunson, who just torched the Raptors and just destroyed them at every single level. And, of course, you could always say, well, there's a talent disparity. With all due respect, no team has a 44-point talent disparity. Like, you know what? Like, at a certain point, that's on you. That's a controllable thing on you. And you look at the Raptors tonight, you would say, well, first off, size is an issue, right? And that's one of the – when you think back on why have the Raptors lost 12 straight, size is obviously a big thing. You know, you're starting Kelly Olynyk at center. You have four guards around him at all times. You have nobody coming off the bench that's even close to a competent big, let alone a competent forward. in terms of just like on the defensive, on the rebounding side. And of course, you're going to get hurt. But guess what? The Knicks had 16 offensive rebounds tonight. You know, first off, they weren't missing many shots because the Raptors weren't contesting many shots. But it wasn't like the Knicks just like, you know, thoroughly killed them in the possession game. I think for the Raptors, like, there just isn't enough compete level. And I think the Raptors, you can give them every excuse. They take every excuse. And again, I'm not expecting them to win. No one's expecting them to win. But, like, at least keep it respectable. At least play like you did against OKC. You lost by 20, but guess what? The tone of the podcast was not like this. The discussion watching the game probably wasn't like this. Even the last game against the Nets. Well, whatever. The Nets, it was a rock fight. Neither team could hit a three. But at least you kept it close. You know, and again, the tone is not like this. What is the point of looking at this? Right? What is the point of watching? And this doesn't apply to all of them. Honestly, a lot of them did, you know, play hard and compete. And sometimes it's just not enough. Like, I think Gary, you know, continues to do his job, you know, good job. 6 assists tonight for him. He made the right plays, took the right shots, didn't force it. Obviously, he was, you know, he's close to number one item on the scouting report. Actually, I don't even know if the other teams even put a scouting report, if it's worth even putting that on paper. Because we got to save the trees. But in any case, you know, Gary gives you a solid performance. I've never really questioned Kelly's compete level when, you know, he's you know, trying his very best to be positive, maintains a structure on offense. Yeah, defensively, he's going to need a lot of help. Guess what? That's part of the deal when you get Kelly Olynyk, and he made no bones about it in his career. But, you know, he's doing what he can. He's giving you those crafty little up fakes, those little short rolls to the basket. You know, and again, like, I have no qualms with what he's doing. Grady Dick, I got no qualms with what he's doing, man. Career high 23 points tonight. That surpasses the 22 that he had in another 40-point blowout, by the way, against the Pelicans. At least that one's on the road, so you didn't have your home fans seeing it. But Grady, this one, 23 points, was super, super aggressive, you know, really went after Dante DiVincenzo, really, you know, took the chances to hit from three, but most importantly, to hit from mid-range, attack off the dribble, attack closeouts, get to the basket. It just did a really, really good job of competing. Defensively, obviously, he's not going to give you much, and especially when the Knicks really were trying to intentionally, you know, I mean, look, the Knicks got such easy offense, they could just kind of go through the motions and still get an open three. But when they really wanted to and they locked in and they settled on Grady as the one to pick on, I mean, they picked on him. And of course, that's going to need help. But honestly, offensively, you saw Grady come in and give you a really, really nice effort. He was competing. But those are guys that I know are going to be on the team, right? I mean, Gary's a question mark. But, you know, Kelly, you know, is going to be on the team. Grady, you know, is going to be on the team. Ochai, before he got hurt, was playing, you know, decent. He was, again, he had to guard Brunson at the point of attack. Would have loved to see how he did tonight, except for the fact that obviously he got hurt. So hopefully he's okay. But in the games that he's been playing, he's been competitive. He's been competing. He's been whatever. But it reminds me of what Kelly Olynyk said yesterday. And Kelly was spoken to at practice, you know, by reporters. And you know, and obviously most of the questions right now around the team are around Jontay Porter, who, you know, may or may not have, you know, tagged some of his performances to influence betting lines, which is in and of itself a disaster. But one outside of just the questions around that story, they were also asked Kelly about sort of just like maintaining positivity and just like playing with this group in the moment. And one thing that Kelly said was exactly what you need to hear in this moment from a vet, which is, I hope guys are going to take these opportunities, guys who wouldn't typically get chances to play. And you know what? If it's a little blunt, honestly, it's just the truth. The truth is blunt. A lot of these guys aren't going to get minutes in the league. A lot of these guys aren't going to be in the league next year. You know, so they might be in the G League. They might be overseas. They might be wherever, right? And I no one's going to try to knock down their dreams. But right now, this is like a dream come true. You got a lot of minutes to play. You got a lot of minutes to play. And hopefully you do something with it. And honestly, for the group in the second unit, like, it's not just they didn't have enough talent. It's not just the fact that they, you know, they're new to each other. It's not just that it's the end of the season and I guess things don't matter. I mean, I guess what, people paying money to come see you, it doesn't matter anymore, right? But like, it's not just that, because if you just say that and you give them a pass, that I don't know, if you're gonna give them a pass over a 44-point loss, like, I don't even know what to do. You know what I mean? Like, I guess we've just downgraded as a whole franchise, if that's the case, right? We have no standards. 44-point loss, it's a pass. Fine, okay? the way Jalen McDaniels played tonight, the way Bruce Brown played tonight, the way Jordan Wara played for a large part of this night, although he snapped back into it at the end, so at least it's okay to some degree. Genuinely shocking. I feel like that added like another 15 points to the deficit. And whatever, the loss is a loss. And people will be saying, you need to lose because of the tank and this, all that kind of stuff. Fine. That's already been accepted. But there's got to be standards. There's got to be things where you just, you know what? You do something like this, you just don't come in and play. And McDaniels, all season, has not shown the standard to play as a Raptor. And this is not a single instance. And of course, he's been given multiple chances. He was in the rotation to start the year ahead of guys you know play well, like Chris Boucher, who play hard. Maybe with some errors, but it plays hard, right? Day one, he was in the rotation. Obviously, he didn't perform well enough, slid out the rotation. Injuries happened, trades happened, multiple chances to propel him back into the rotation. And you might say, well, there's one game here, one game here. Honestly, you look at the game tonight, and there are so many games like this one tonight. It's not just that you look at the box score and see 2 of 7 for 4 points, minus 27 in 16 minutes, despite playing up as a big, 0 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 3 turnovers, and a block. It's not just the box score. It's the visceral effect when you watch it. It's the plays that, you know, require not just box score documentation of miss shot here or turnover here, but you need to, like, write down the context of what goes on around it. Like, for example, McDaniels driving into the lane, and that's the thing for him. For a guy who's so low usage, for a guy who I know Darko is not drawing up plays for him to go one-on-one. I mean, Darko very rarely lets anyone go one-on-one, really. But especially, if it has to be somebody, McDaniels probably like, you know, 12th on the list, has a shocking amount of driving turnovers. Anytime he puts the ball behind his back, it's a turnover. So he has a driving turnover. Next time now he catches the ball, tries to go one-on-one against Mitchell Robinson, who is fresh off of injury, who has been out for months. Finally comes back, makes his debut. Literally the perfect game for him. He could just run around out there, get some cardio, you know, get some confidence, right? Obviously this game, you know, was predetermined basically from 3 minutes into the game. But he's one-on-one against the center. Tries to attack Robinson, and Robinson just pokes it free from him immediately. Almost lost the dribble, gets it back, then gets the ball back, and then tries to go one-on-one again somehow. Again, because this is not his role, tries to go one-on-one again and shoots a pull-up jumper that, I'm not even kidding you, hit only glass. Not just only glass, it was off to the left. It was above the square. Like, there was no conceivable way that ball could have bounced even back onto the rim, let alone into the rim. Right? That was a part of a really, really tough end of the third quarter. And I'll get back to this stretch, but there was like some Bruce Brown just like running up, losing the ball, then fouls on the chase instead of getting all the way back. Then the next play down, he tries to ISO against Dante DiVincenzo, gets blocked. And then the next play down, defensively, he screws up a switch and he lets Josh Hart take a wide open pull-up three. And whatever, Josh Hart is not a guy who's like a prolific three-point shooter, but it was just straight up lost in coverage. We're talking about four possessions, right? Runs up, loses the ball, then fouls on the chase rather than contesting. Then he goes ISO against, for no reason on defense, gets blocked. Then on the other end, gives up a wide open three because he screwed up the coverage. And there's not even like a bit of remorse or like, oh, I'm sorry, or like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, I'll try to make it up. Like, no. There's just like a, nah, this, it doesn't even matter, right? Gary falls over, you know, and loses the ball at one point. Then Wara travels, trying to attack a closeout. And this is all obviously at a point where the Knicks were up and they were going to win this game. But again, like, you look at it on the other side. When you talk about winning culture, and this used to be the Raptors, so you should be very familiar with you, right? The score is 102-78. So again, it's 102-78. The Knicks are up by 24 points. And there is 3 minutes left in the third quarter. And you had... honestly, it was McDaniels. Yeah, of course it was McDaniels. It was McDaniels pushing the ball 1-on-3 on a fast break. First off, 1-on-3 on a fast break, not a good chance to push. But whatever, it's McDaniels. So he's decided, you know what, I got to go 1-on-3 on the fast break here. And this is what the Knicks do. Again, they're up 24 points with 3 minutes left against a team that is trying their very best to lose, basically. And you see two things. Number one, three Knicks are back. Number two, Jalen Brunson is there taking a charge. He is their team leader. Honestly, you might even say, is it even worth taking a charge at this point? You know what I mean? He's so valuable, whatever. It doesn't matter. How many times did you ever ask yourself that about Kyle Lowry? Or did you just enjoy the fact that you had a point guard, your best player, playing that hard no matter what the circumstances were? Jalen Brunson steps in to take a charge. And guess what? Even if he didn't step in to take a charge, Dante DiVincenzo was running at 100 miles per hour, running all the way back to swipe the ball from McDaniels, who ultimately lost the ball anyway. And it was a charge, but it was a stop by three different ways. That's winning culture. That's what we've seen with the Raptors for so long. And we have not seen that all season, basically, with this group. And I'm not expecting this team, how shorthanded they are, especially with the players that they got on the roster, to be out there and like competing and like, you know, even making, you know, it. I do want them to make it respectable. But like, seriously, I'm not expecting a win here, right? There's obviously a gap. We're talking about multitudes. But one team is up 24 points and they got three guys back on defense, and their star player, who's going to go all NBA this year, and Jalen Brunson, is taking a charge while his teammate, who he recruited there and clearly, you know, helped build the culture and continue on the culture, and Dante DiVincenzo comes back and swats the ball. On the other end, you got Bruce Brown running, you know, just giving up for two straight possessions on offense and on defense. Then you got Gary falling over. Then you got Wara traveling. And then you got McDaniels, who I kind of got to come back to, because the fourth quarter, despite all of this, Darko was like, you know what? Who else do I got? I got to give you another shot. Let's see what you got. Okay, please redeem yourself. And you see it immediately in the fourth quarter. McDaniels is covering Bojan Bogdanović. The ball swings over to him. And McDaniels looks at him dead in the eye and keeps his hands down. What? Bogdanović has been in the league for like 10 years. Right? This guy's been a sharpshooter in his career for the whole 10 years. Like, and he looks at him with his hands down, and Bogdanović is like, wow, this is easy. I rarely see this. I mean, like, he hasn't even played that well as a member of the Knicks so far. But he's like, wow, if you're going to, I mean, please, by all means, let me have this, you know? And he just pulls a three. And McDaniels does what he does. It's like, oh, shucks, I can't believe I did that. So the next play, you know, and this is probably the one time you saw, like, okay, you know what? I'm going to try to really, really get it back. You know, like, that was a mistake by me. I'm going to try to get it back. My bad. Let's see what happens. So that was off the right corner that Bojan hit the corner three, right? Next play, the ball swings out to Bojan in the left corner. McDaniels is like, I got to get out there. And he just, as soon as Bojan caught the pass, he sprinted. He like jumped out and tried to swipe it. And Bojan, of course, hit him with the shot fake and saw how easy and predictable this was. Took one dribble, stepped in, let McDaniels fly by, complete out the play, and knocked down an easy, wide open, easy baseline two. It's plays like that that just got to roll your eyes. And then the next one, like just a few minutes later in the fourth quarter, McDaniel gets the ball, drives it, right? Gets absolutely stuffed. Then he comes back the other way. He loses McBride for a closeout on a corner three. That's McBride's ninth three of the game. For a guy who was the third string point guard for the Knicks starting the season. Like, the Raptors' third-string point guard to start the season was, who was it to start the season? It was Marquise Noel. Like, that's the Raptors' third-string point guard to start the season was Marquise Noel, right? Because it was Dennis and Malachi being his backup, and, that's his ninth three. And guess what? Darko uses his last timeout. There's, 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and he's like, honestly, I don't care. I'm using my last timeout, and I'm making sure to take McDaniels out. And I'll put in Mohamedou Gay. He's clearly overmatched at this level. Like, I don't even want to comment beyond that. But, like, I'll take that over McDaniels. Like, it's got to mean nothing to wear a Raptors uniform. Like, it's not just, like, an ability thing. It's not just, like, we're overwhelmed at the system, the lineup. No. It's just, like, wow. As for the rest of the game, there are a lot of positives to see from Grady Dick offensively. If you just only look at his highlights and you only look at the small marginal things, that matters, because Grady's going to be here and he's going to be here a long time. And offensively, he showed you something tonight. He was aggressive. He got a lot of his own offense, but he got it all within the offense. The offense works really well for Grady, the back cuts, all that kind of stuff. He's working on those and he's finishing and he's getting better and better at it. I'm loving what I'm seeing there. Javon Freeman Liberty took it off the dribble a couple times, slashed it to the basket, knocked down a three at one point. course, you see it a little bit limited, but there's definitely more scoring punch there as compared to a guy like Kobe Simmons. Now, Kobe Simmons struggled with his scoring, 1 of 6 from the field, 0 of 3 from three, and turned down a couple threes, which I think is even a little bit worse. You don't want to see him turn down threes. But at the same time, what you like to see from Kobe Simmons was the fact that he managed the game well, ran the offense comfortably, wasn't looking for a shot too much, and plays defense. He consistently comes in and takes a charge in the first quarter. Was getting rotation, got 3 steals in 24 minutes. I mean, if you can somehow combine Kobe Simmons' defense with Javon Freeman Liberty's offense, maybe you get something there. But in any case, I thought those two guys came in and played hungry, played well. Gary again continues to, he threw an over the shoulder pass off a drive. I mean, that's nice. It's just nice to see Gary fully play free, and you rarely get to see it. And obviously his skill set level isn't so high that you let him have the green light kind of thing. But still, when you do get to see it, you're like, okay, there is an offensive skill set there. There is a modicum of strength that he plays with on offense where he's able to blast through a little bit of defense and play with a bit of physical toughness that comes from his dad, who's obviously another friend of the program. Kelly Olynyk, I already talked about him. The rest of it, Garrett Temple, my goodness, what can I say about Garrett Temple? Speaking of friends of the program, but Garrett Temple comes into this game, first quarter, has 8 points. He had a wing three that he knocked down. He had a rolling layup. I'm going to ask Garrett Temple next time we have him on the show next week, when was the last time you picked and rolled to the basket? Pick and pop, maybe? I mean, although he's mostly been a ball handler or a shooting guard, so he's not even setting screens so much. But we saw him actually screen and then roll to the basket. It was obviously an open lane, and the Knicks were confused in coverage. But he got a rolling layup, and then he hit a buzzer-beating three in the opposite corner there to end the first quarter. Was that enough? No. The Raptors were down 45-33 at the end of the first quarter. But Garrett Temple comes in the game, and he plays the right way. This is what I'm saying. It's not a talent thing. It's a desire thing. It's a focus thing. And, not knowing the minds and the hearts, but even just if I had to guess, it's also a pride thing. Garrett Temple comes in, and he's a pro. You see it. You just see it immediately, right? 15 points, 6 rebounds, 3 offensive, 2 assists, 2 steals. He tied a guy up, lost a jump ball, but, man, I'm not expecting 37-year-olds to win jump balls like that. Just plays the right way. And this is a guy who hasn't even been playing that much. And of course, you understand, this is what happens at the end of your career. You take the back seat and you're there for guidance. And truly, there are very few people better than that for Garrett Temple. You know a man's character when you hear him speak consistently. And we've had Garrett on so many times now. And every single time you come away just very impressed with just his presentation, his knowledge, his sympathy, his perspective. He's great, right? And I think Garrett Temple was living proof of the fact that even if you are a little bit limited, right? In this case, it's just he's older. But you stay ready, and when your number is called, you play hard. You saw one play where what Garrett Temple was guarding on a switch, and he swiped the ball 5-6 times, just a jabbing and aggressively getting at the ball. And I think eventually forced it was Mitchell Robinson who turned it over. Stuff like that. It's there's no ability thing for the other guys not to do that. There's no ability thing for them not to compete as hard as Garrett Temple. But that's also a learned skill. Can you come out and compete no matter what? Because again, that's what's going to get you kept on the roster, right? Some of these guys, I mean, if not for the guaranteed deal in McDaniels the second year, which is a lot of them wouldn't be kept. You know what I mean? And the keepers you keep are the ones that compete hard no matter what. They were going to lose. Anyone could have told you they were going to lose tonight, right? But the fact that there are certain players who played hard and there are certain players who didn't, that's the delineation. That's the delineation. And yeah, on that front, I'm going to get to the 3 stars, but I'm going to take a quick message here to bring from our sponsor. Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level. See if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Okay, your 3 stars from this game. And again, it wasn't all negative. There were some real star performances for the Raptors tonight. First star is obviously got to go to Grady Dick. I wanted to give it to Garrett. He's going to get the 2nd star. But Grady Dick, 23 points, a career high. Congratulations, young man. He was able to be really aggressive, look for a shot, and... you know, it doesn't always come off for him, but when you project this kind of ability forward, you know, the favorite thing with him all season is he's, you know, more than a shooter. You see it tonight. He found ways to score, and especially if you're a shooter like this, people are going to react to you, you know, and he's starting to do a better job now of getting more and more comfortable attacking off of screens. You saw him on a baseline out of bounds play sprint from one corner all the way around, circling the three-point line to the strong side corner and catch the ball and immediately knock down the three. That was awesome off the baseline out of bounds play. You're seeing him do that now a lot more. You're seeing him curl and attack. You're seeing him even, like, you know, to be able to read how defenders are closing out on him and attack against their closeout and use the momentum against them. Just really good reads like that for Grady. And the fact that he's even getting 18 shot attempts up is a really good sign to me, in addition to the efficiency. It shows that he's able to find these advantages and play, again, within the system but still get shots. So I'm really happy for him. Second star is Garrett Temple, 15 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Just continues to play really well, play his role really, really well. And he comes in and he's a shining example for the rest of the guys. Like, if I were any of these other guys, number one, I'd be doing anything I can to, with any of my minutes, to play as very, very hard as possible. Like Muhammadu Gueye, for example. Yeah, like I think clearly there's a skill gap in terms of, you know, what he's going to do. But I don't question his hustle. Late in the game, and this is like the last 2 minutes, Precious Achiuwa had the ball. War went for a steal on the perimeter, which, like, dude, just keep him in front. But he sells out on that front. Two guys don't choose to rotate. And it's Muhammadu Gueye who's like, you know what? I'm going to end up on a poster. I'm going to rotate. And it was an great poster. Precious Achiuwa just, you know, we all know what he could do. He, like, fully dunked on the man and won. They showed the highlights like 4 or 5 times, even though it was, you know, it was here on the local broadcast. But I respect Muhammadu for rotating and closing out on that. You know what I mean? Like, just make the most of it. Yeah, if you make a mistake, whatever. But, like, you know what? I respect the man for at least stepping in rather than stepping off. You know, like, that's competition. All the end of the day, that's what this is about. Even though tonight wasn't much of a competition, but you know what? That's an act of competition right there. But, like, ultimately, anybody who is playing right now just needs to look at what Garrett Temple's doing. Like, he's stayed ready. He gets into the game and he produces. And you know what? Garrett Temple's not handing no excuses. So, salute to Garrett. And then your third star. Who am I going to give the third star to? I'm going to give the third star to probably Gary. 18 points, 2 rebounds, 6 assists. Again, he's playing free. He's being efficient. There's not too much else to say about it, but I enjoyed his performance. Your Jerome Henderson Award winner, of course, there's a lot of options, but you got to go with Miles McBride, a.k.a. Deuce McBride. Plus 40 in 40 minutes tonight. 29 points, 7 assists, 3 steals, or 3 rebounds, 10 of 17 from the field, 9 of 14 from 3. I believe the Knicks locked up McBride to like a 4-year, $16 million deal or something. 3-year, $13 million deal. Yeah, so like this is their reserve. And it was their third stringer to start the season. I'm sure part of his emergence gave the Knicks a little bit more confidence to make that trade and ultimately move off of Quickly, who is obviously like a better player and a really, really quality player. But like, I think for McBride personally, he's obviously come on really strong. This is not a coincidence. He's done this a few times, including to the Warriors. But yeah, I mean, he played awesome. But yeah, I mean, you could take whatever you want on that one. Finally, before I go, I just wanted to say, obviously about OG and Precious, this is their first time returning to Toronto. Since getting moved in that deal, for both guys, they were, you know, both took the time pregame to come out and Precious obviously warming up. OG was continuing to be injured. But both guys came out, really interacted with a lot of people, a lot of the staffers, just saying hi. Weirdly enough, not saying hi to as many teammates, but to be honest, like, the team has turned over so much that, you know, there's, even since they left midseason, there's not a lot of teammates still left with the group. You know what I mean? But, you know, really personal guys. You know, and both of them obviously deserve, well, OG for sure deserve a tribute video. I think Precious has been here long enough and was here for a lot of good moments. He got the tribute video as well. You know, both really well done by the Raptors. You know, nice ovation from the crowd. Obviously, OG's more popular than Precious, but still both really well liked, both well received. And it's just great to see them back in the building. It's tough. I would love to see OG in uniform back in the building as well. But, you know, just wish them all the best. They were really good Raptors. I know Precious was up and down, but even seeing Precious with this team how focused and locked in he is. I mean, he didn't take very many bad shots tonight, was very focused. 19 points, 13 rebounds, 7 offensive, 3 assists, a steal, 2 blocks. That monster dunk, I mean, just absolutely tore the Raptors apart on the inside, and it was a classic revenge game for him. He's actually had 2 really good performances against the Raptors since getting traded. The last one, he was like 11 of 13 or something. But yeah, congrats to them, and I wish them all the best in their careers. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks everyone for listening. You know, no Raptor show tomorrow. Raptor show will return on Friday at 11 a.m. And then, of course, the Raptors mercifully will have a couple days off before they play against the Philadelphia 76ers on Sunday. Yeah, Sunday afternoon. So we'll get to see Nick Nurse, I guess. You know, appreciate everyone for listening. I mean, I know you don't get many angry React pods. I'm trying to like keep it more in focus, but there are certain moments where I'm just like, it's got to mean something to where the Raptors perform. That's all there is to it. So you've been listening to the Raptors Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Campbell's new Chunky Spicy Soup. It's time to get fired up. Please have a couple really, really nice days before we speak again.